Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal along with Wells Guthrie. Hoping everybody out there is having a terrific, terrific Tuesday. Before we welcome in our guest, Lamont Paris, I do have a basketball note. The Lady Vols, due to positive COVID test and subsequent contact tracing, have been forced to postpone their first two SEC games. They were scheduled to play at Texas A&M on Thursday and home against Kentucky, a couple of top 15 teams. So the Lady Vols are having to pause their season. Coach, congratulations on that 9-0 start. Wells and I were both leveled with COVID. We hope your team is healthy.
Hey, appreciate it. Did you seriously, you guys had COVID?
Oh, yeah. I'm on day 12 now without being able to taste or smell. It's been 12 days.
Really?
Since yes.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to hear. I hope that's the worst thing that happens to you as far as symptoms go. But, yeah, sorry to hear that. But, yeah, we've been fighting the good fight. You know, it rears its ugly head here and there like it does with everybody. But we try to do enough things that we can keep enough guys ready to play. It's been a short bench, a short roster of available guys every game. But hey, maybe that was the secret recipe that we've been waiting on.
All right, I got to start with this. Did you see where you're getting 125th place vote in the AP poll?
I did not.
Yes.
I did not see that.
You're on there.
All right. So is there a thing that says, I know there's a thing that says receiving votes.
That's it.
Is there one that says receiving singular votes?
It just lists how many votes, and it says UTC won. So, yes, you got 125th place vote, okay. But you're on there. You're on the map.
All right. We'll take it. Yeah. So those things are always so funny. But, yeah, you know, at this level, those are important things. You know, your guys see that stuff, and it gives them more confidence even, and it might inspire them. And so very, very interesting. But, yeah, I was unaware of that. So good to know, though.
We try to inform here on Press Row. We try to inform.
There you go.
All right, we have not talked since, I mean, I don't know what your record was, 5-0, 6-0 when we last talked. But now you're 9-0 with three consecutive three-point wins. What has been the common theme in these last three games, would you say?
Yeah, I don't know. They've all been so different in their own right, but you know, I thought we played decent and ended up in a three-game scenario. We had a team make a comeback on us and ended up in a three-point scenario, and then we played poorly in this last game and ended up in a three-point scenario. So, you know, they've all been different, but I'd say the one common denominator is just being resilient. Guys were resilient, and you know, out of all those, one of the hardest things to do is to give up a lead, and you get big momentum on the other team's side. Then it's, you know, it really is hard to make plays when you feel like you need to, when you've obviously had a stretch where you didn't. So I'd say the one common denominator in all three of those games was that guys made a play on either end of the ball when we really needed it, and it was, we had some unlikely quote unquote heroes doing different things in each one of those games. So it was fun to see guys go out there and make a play when they needed to.
Of course, Lamont, the last time we had you on, David Jean Batiste was still on the team. Casey Hankton had not made his debut yet. How is your team different with David gone and with Casey playing?
Yeah, it's just what a strange year. We knew it was going to be a strange year just due to the COVID and the scheduling and rescheduling and cancellation of games and protocols, all that stuff. And then we've had a variety of interesting hurdles that have been thrown out there and things that have changed our roster on a regular basis. And so, but yeah, I'd say, you know, Trey's opportunity has been more just in the absence of Dave. And he's done some good things. Malachi's role has changed in the absence of Dave, and he's thrived in that role. Casey adds another guy in your front court who can do a variety of things. I think he's a little more athletic than most of the other guys that we have at those positions. So, he's done some things like he snagged a rebound above the rim late in the game that we needed. He blocked a shot on a guy who had essentially beaten him off the dribble and just recovered and made a play. And so, it's a different deal, different roles for guys, but guys have adjusted to those roles and give them all the credit because, you're calling a guy's number for to do different things that he's ever done so far this season, and guys have handled that extremely well, I would say, so far.
It seems like you get numbed. I mean, you're numb to a lot of stuff in today's basketball world with the transfer portal and the hundreds and hundreds of players that can get into that. But when you talk about the expression out of left field, I mean, when you are into a season, into an undefeated season, and your leading scorer just up and leaves, a guy leading you in shots, I mean, playing time, everything, how much, I mean, you've had several days to obviously digest that. How much did that surprise you?
It was a big surprise to me. In a year that's been full of things that I've just, you just roll with the punches. Maximum flexibility is what I've said, and we've had to do it. Our practices, our numbers at practice at times have been, we can't even conduct a normal practice. I'd say the majority of our practices, we haven't been able to conduct a full practice. Luckily, I've got assistant coaches that are in good enough shape that they can play, so we can still go 5-on-5 sometimes. It was something that surprised me, but you just adjust to it and adapt. And your game plans change a little bit here and there. Some things don't change, but some things you do. Certain plays are just not going to work as well with this lineup versus that lineup, so you stay away from those. There's just a lot of changes. And so, while it was surprising, I feel like a G League general manager, and this year particularly with just so many different roster things. Okay, this guy's got a COVID, or he was a close contact, so he isn't going to be available for this game. This guy's doing this. This guy's doing that. So it's been challenging, to say the least. But at the end of the day, it is what it is, and I'm going to coach the guys that are available for the game that want to be here. And Dave had some stuff that he was working on, and we're doing everything we can to be supportive of Dave. And like I said before, I never felt like it was a basketball decision. So, but anyway, the guys that show up, I ask my assistant coaches whose name is in the book, and then I construct a game plan based on that.
You think about what y'all are all going through. I don't know if there's a college basketball coach this season that's gone through more than Mike White at Florida with the collapse of Keontae Johnson in that game at FSU. I was on a SEC conference call yesterday with Mike and some other league coaches that were obviously addressing that. What was just kind of your reaction to that? I mean, it's such a shocking thing to see, and is that something that your players have asked you about or you've addressed to your players?
I don't have any information on it, other than the facts of what actually happened. And so, I don't even know, maybe they are still trying to search for answers on as to why and what and whatnot. And so, to this point, we really haven't talked a lot about it, or I haven't fielded any questions from our team. Again, I think one thing is just trying to figure out what the information that we have about the circumstances that led to that situation. And you know, without trying to speculate whatsoever, there's a certain percentage of those that happen in the game of basketball, particularly, and in football, you know, it happens in football. I had a guy that I played with that had a similar situation. And, you know, that was obviously was pre-COVID. So, you know, I reserve any sort of real feelings about, you know, it's a sad scenario, and I'm extremely excited about the progress that the young man has made, and I'm cheering, and I've said prayers for him, and so I'm excited that he's on the road to recovery, and you know, it appears to be out of the woods with some things, and so that gives me great pleasure in that he's doing well. But you know, I don't know what was the source of what happened, and so it's hard for me to say, you know, a whole lot else about it, to be honest.
Sure, and of course their family has asked for privacy, just saying until we know, because there's been a lot of speculation on COVID and heart-related issues to that, but the family has been kind of adamant, like, let this thing kind of run its course, and we'll be happy to disclose the information when we know it. You've got, obviously, a huge test standing in the way of a 10-0 start. Furman is one of those teams. I saw them last year. They led Auburn just about the entire way, and that was a Auburn team that went 25-6 and came back at home and won at the very end. And just a few weeks ago, I watched them go down to Tuscaloosa, and the same type thing. I mean, led Alabama like 38 minutes. I mean, this team is really, really good. So I know you won't be looking past them by any stretch, but obviously just talk about the challenge that is Furman tomorrow.
Yeah, they're a really good team. They have a system. They have recruited guys that fit that system. They know who they are and what their DNA is. And to me, that's always the mark. The first sign of good coaching is that you have the kind of players that know who they are and play the way that you want them to play. But they've been tremendously successful during Bob Ritchie's time there, and so they know how to win. They expect to win. They have a high expectation for their performance on this season, and certainly that will start with their game here as far as the SoCon slate goes. So yeah, we're gonna have to play well and do the things that we've been doing, tighten up in some areas, but it's obviously a big challenge. They've played well. You know, they looked like an NBA team in that first half against Alabama, and couldn't miss, and were doing all the things. But that is basketball. That's what basketball is. And then they play Winthrop, and you know, they give up 60 points almost in the first half. So, but I digress. I say that only to say that they are a very good team, and there's certainly a challenge. And but we're discovering and reaching for our ceiling as well, and so we're not there yet, and so it should be a good battle. Two teams that are playing well, and you know, a little more riding on it when it's a conference game, and so we'll get our guys ready to go out and compete really hard.
And of course, obviously, no fans still at McKenzie Arena, but the 1 o'clock tip, is that a scheduling thing to help Furman out, or why was this game placed at one?
Well, yeah, I think originally it had to do with, you know, I think this was the weekend or the week that was slated for the Southern Scuffle.
Okay.
I think that was the original part of the original deal. It was this coming weekend, and, you know, they come in here and in preparation for and leading up to that, they do practices and putting mats down and all that. So I think that was the original impetus for that, but then, you know, we just never made an adjustment on the time. So yeah, it'll be an afternoon delight.
Well, our goal is to come on the air tomorrow at 3 o'clock and say the Mocs are 10-0. Breaking news, the Mocs are 10-0.
Yeah, that'll be, hey, I'm looking forward to hearing that.
Well, listen, Lamont,
I'll buy you dinner.
There you go.
If you get a chance to say that.
I just don't want to give you COVID. Listen, Lamont, congrats on the 9-0 start. Best of luck tomorrow against Furman, and we always appreciate you joining us here on Press Row.
Hey, guys, no problem. Thanks for having me. I hope you guys get well really soon. And in the meantime, just catch up on your Netflix.
All right, thank you so much. Lamont Ferris, the coach of the 9-0 Mocs, who put their record on the line tomorrow at McKenzie Arena against the Furman Paladins. 648-1051 is the number. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.